There is nothing loving about intentionally killing someone. That's not what love does. Love actually helps someone through their struggles.
Welcome to Straight Talk on Life Issues. I'm Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
And I'm your co-host, Victor Nieves. It's a pleasure to be here with you today as we continue our conversation on trisomy.
Victor, our guest had so many good things to say. Both parents said that their children have brought so much hope and joy to them and those around them. And we're going to hear more from them today.
Their journey as parents have been tremendous. Having moved from heartache to hope, they've made it their mission to help other parents.
And I'm so glad they pushed back on abortion when they were met with the devastating words from medical professionals, so-called medical professionals, when they were told that their child was incompatible with life.
And we'll learn more about that today as we continue to speak with our guests on this topic. Joining us once again is Beverly Jacobson. When her daughter Verity was diagnosed with Edwards syndrome, a condition deemed incompatible with life, she was met with devastating words from medical professionals. Yet despite their dire predictions, Verity is now 8 years old and thriving. We're also joined once again by Brad and Jesse Smith. Their daughter, Faith, has trisomy 18 and is 16 years old. Together, Brad and Jesse actively support parents with disabled children and help to connect them with doctors who support the lives of these precious kids.
Brad, Jesse, and Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about the medical community. Let's talk about society in general. Did you face any adversaries or pressure regarding your children as you went out into the public, Beverly?
For us, again, I think are a bit of an anomaly, but our community was amazing. Our family, first of all, we are 100% pro-life. There was no question. I did not have a single family member, you know, who even questioned our decision to carry her and care for her. My mom actually was a pediatric home health nurse herself. And I just think it's interesting. I never thought I would be the mama of somebody who would have been one of her clients. But our church surrounded us. They didn't know necessarily how to help us. They just knew that we needed help and support and prayers. Our church in Iowa, where we were stationed at the time, threw us a baby shower. And then our church, now we've been here in Colorado. My husband's retired from the Air Force. And I don't know how people do this without a community. And then I did not realize the resources that were available. I had no idea we could qualify for home health care nursing. So, you know, these kinds of things, again, that's what nudged us when we had our head above water and we were realizing, okay, we have a new normal. Life is good. Life is beautiful. How can we help others see this? Because not everybody has that village of support. And we wanted to be able to create a place, as I kept hearing these stories of just sadness and, you know, shattered marriages, broken families where, you know, dad can't, you know, handle it and doesn't want to care for a special needs child and then leaves. Or, you know, mama is getting this pressure from family members to abort. And why wouldn't they offer support instead? My heart broke for these families. I just am so grateful that we've had the support. And honestly, if it had been more of a struggle, I don't know that I could have launched a nonprofit. And we're working to build Mama Bear Care so that we can care for even more mamas. We are serving around the country, but the need is huge. There's more and more genetic testing, more and more push towards that. And many moms don't even really know what it is or how it works. They don't understand that the non-invasive screens are inaccurate so many times. And so they need information, they need support, and they need hope.
Jesse and Brad, let's hear from you.
I was just going to say, you had mentioned the moms. It's interesting because I think so often dads get overlooked in this whole thing.
Right, you are.
Because, you know, it's a struggle for dads and most of them don't want to admit it. You know, guys like to fix things and you can't just fix this. And so this is where you really have to have a relationship with God if you're going to prosper through this thing, because he's the one who strengthened me. It's through Christ that I have been able to do this and not just do this. I mean, it's been 16 years. We've helped hundreds of families over those years. But I do want to point this out, that in helping, I noticed a trend that whenever I was helping a mom who didn't have dad by her side for whatever reason, in almost every case, those women usually become like mush. They get rolled over by the medical staff and everything going on. And those children almost always die. But if dad is involved, I always say, they don't have to be an in-your-face guy like I am. He can just be a steady, firm voice. And if dad is there, this is what's cool. Watch out for those women. This is where you see the mama bears come into place. Because those women, it's not so much watching the dad, it's watching the change in those women.
Like any of us need the excuse to be feistier, right? It's just crazy. I'm like, you're not only dealing with faith, you're dealing with me. Like, right. God help you all. I do want to point out, faith is here because of a great God, yes, and some wonderful physicians who are worth their weight in gold. I mean, she is here because they offered care. Yes, we had to fight to find them, right? You have to find those precious people. And a lot of them to have faith. I look for doctors who have faith, and I look for doctors who may have a special needs person in their own family because they know what that life is like and they'll know the value of another human being. So, you know, I think one of the greatest things that this has done is solidify our family, which I think is so needed in society. And the only reason we were able to give something to other families is because of what God had given us, first in the Santorums and the other families, all those families that started the support organization for Trisomy, who have been doing this for decades, and the doctors that came alongside to help those families. You don't do this alone, but you do realize you're not the only prophet left, right? You know, there's God always has his contingents of people to help fight a battle. And one plus God is the majority. So we see the pressure turning from a culture of death to life. And the reason is because we have the truth on our side, yeah, and no lie lives forever. And so here we are with our daughter at 16 because of wonderful help we've received.
Well, and we've been able to see, you know, I hear this a lot. I work in pro-life stuff, and, you know, I've heard people go, oh, it's going to be so hard to change the culture. And I'm like, hey, look, we can win. We can change the culture. In fact, here we are at the University of Michigan doing all of our care. And we had one doctor who was really, really, truly on our side and wanted to help. And with that one doctor, because he had the boldness to treat, I asked him, I said, can I send you other kids after he treated our daughter? And he said, absolutely. And then I said, we're going to make you the expert. Well, today he is the national expert treating these kids and their airways. Yep. And because of him and his courage and a couple crazy parents, we changed the culture at the University of Michigan. We're actually in the midst right now of launching a Trisomy 13 and 18 clinic. And wow, we have our own study. So we have our own study at Michigan. This is not published, so you can't just go grab it. But I know the study because my daughter's the oldest child in it. And we have a 90% survival rate to age one. And then five and older, 80% of them are still living.
Which is amazing when you think what I was told, 5 to 10% would make it to their first birthday. And I got connected with a lot of families online and sadly watched their little ones pass one by one. And so it was heavy on my heart waiting for that first birthday. I didn't realize it was like holding our collective breath and just wondering, is today going to be the day? And we celebrated like huge celebration for that first birthday because we didn't know if there would be any more. And then after a while, we kind of let out our breath and like, why don't we stop waiting for her to die and actually embrace the life that God has given us? And then when I dug a little more, the next statistic I found was that with interventions, 30 to 35% could make it to their first birthday. And now you're telling me up to 90%. Imagine that if they get the help they need.
And there are more hospitals jumping on. I also work with Boston Children's Hospital. I have an amazing doctor, cardiac surgeon there. His name's Christopher Baird, and he is helping these kids and doing phenomenally well. I'm sure they have the same percentage as we have because I work with these families, mm-hmm, so I track and I know them, but I don't think they've done a study. But they are actually in the midst. They raised the money and they are launching a national registry for children with trisomy 13 and 18 so they can track treatments and better help children. So there's a lot of change happening, especially in the last year or so, where it's all kind of started coming together. In Cincinnati, another great hospital that does amazing work taking care of these kids. So one by one, we're winning them over.
Yep.
Is that Children's Hospital in Cincinnati?
Yes. They've done phenomenal work for these kids. I send lots of people there. Mm-hmm. I have a doctor there. I've had a few doctors there that I've referred and get parents to.
It's good to have this network and this, I mean, there are these informal lines of communication, but having something official that can be published that people can reference, super valuable, but at least, you know, we have these connections now and that's a good use of technology. Yay.
You guys are just full of good news.
What would you say if someone asked you, should a baby be aborted if he or she is going to suffer? Beverly?
I never think there's a reason to abort 100% of the time. Never. Frankly, we're all going to suffer. I mean, my favorite philosopher, the man in black from The Princess Bride, said life is pain. Highness, if anyone says differently, he's selling something. We live in a sinful, broken world. And honestly, Verity certainly isn't suffering. The children, the babies that we see, yes, some of them have many complexities. But I would say to that person, do you know what abortion is? Do you know what abortion does? That to me is suffering, inflicting that kind of harm, whichever way it happens inside the womb, that is suffering physically for the baby. The mother is going to suffer physically, psychologically, mentally, emotionally. She will bear the scars of that experience for her life. And termination is never going to take away the grief or the hardship. Even if you're going to be bereaved of your child after a short time, I know that hurts. I know I've walked with so many parents who are in loss, and that is suffering, but it's not going to cut off that suffering. It's only going to hasten it and actually exponentially magnify the suffering that would happen. I just don't understand, where is the logic in intervening in a way that is so against nature, so against the way God designed our bodies and the whole process? I mean, something's working if there's a baby living in my womb, and that means that your system is healthy and working. And so to terminate only really terminates any chance for joy or blessing or miracle stories unfolding, seeing the blessings like Verity and Faith and these many other children. So I just, from my heart, want the truth to be known that that is never an answer. It's never necessary. And 100% of the time is just going to bring devastation.
I like to ask the question, so what you're telling me is you want me to kill my child violently so they don't die? I mean, there's nothing about that that makes any sense whatsoever. You want me to kill this child so they don't die? And it's very violent. You know, that's one of the things that really drives me nuts, because most of the diagnoses of our children, it's in the second trimester. And that, if you've never watched what they do, then they literally tear the limbs off of the child and crush the body and crush the head and pull out that child. And so that is a violent death that they inflict on these children. And then they try and call that mercy. I just look at it and go, there is nothing loving about intentionally killing someone. That's not what love does. Love actually helps someone through their struggles. Beverly was totally right. This life is full of suffering and pain. And if we're going to kill people because they suffer and they have pain, everyone's dead.
Well, and I would note that we have a generation that is suffering without any physical problems. We have a very high depression rate with our young people right now with nothing physically wrong. You know, so suffering has come to them without even the problems my daughter has. And I think what we do, what compassion and love does in a society, is we care for those, we find answers for them. I mean, medicine is a rapidly changing field. Even people with things that can be physically, you know, hurting, we do have pain meds we use. We are not without tools, even for those who do have some tough diagnosis. So in this rapidly changing field, I always think we're one breakthrough away from a better treatment or even a cure, right? So I remain very hopeful, because I always look back when they're talking about doing stuff with Faith, and I always go, first of all, our children are a gift to the medical community, because who else would be crazy enough to let these doctors do that on their child? But it's the same thing with the first person that was given like heart surgery, right? Some doctor said, you know what? I think I can fix your heart. I'm just gonna break you open here. We're gonna go in there. And you know who needs that? Desperate people. And so that's why, I mean, the medical community, every doctor that's had Faith, they're better at their job. Yeah. This is a gift on both ends. My daughter gets care. They get medical practice, which is desperately needed, because I know we pointed it out before, but because we are aborting so many of the children with disability, we have disabled medicine. Because now we go to people who do not know how to treat the medically complex. And it's very evident when you go in these hospitals. Here we are in the state of Michigan, and there is one hospital that is capable really of taking care of Faith. I mean, it should be every hospital, but I've literally taken to her like an after hours because she had an ear infection. And the staff was so hesitant to touch her, I had to leave. I went to another place where we had been EMS'd right there. And the guy was visibly shaking. And I looked at the nurse that was with us. And I said, maybe we should go to a different hospital. And she was doing this. She was shaking her head, yes. And the guy left so quickly. All of his papers fell off the bed.
Just stop.
He was so nervous to touch her. But this is what happens. We've dumbed down medicine to the point where they don't know how to treat the complex care. And so again, our child has been a gift to us. They've been a gift to medicine. And I love being out with Faith because she's usually the only one that has a wheelchair, a feeding pump, and we've got her little gait trainer. And people are gawkers, right? I mean, mouth open, head turning, but it's great because it's equal on Faith because she is staring them down too. So I figure we're on equal footing here. But the real fun is going to a doctor's conference and taking Faith. I've let her get in her wheelchair and we're not speakers there. We might be at a table there. And I just let her walk into any doctor and they side-eye her. You know, you can tell they're thinking, what does she have? You know what I mean? And then I introduce her and myself and what she has. I want to win each one of them over. And to be honest, and if I can't win you over, I want to defeat your argument because the whole purpose of medicine is to help and heal. Look, I don't have to go there. I don't have to pay anybody for her to die. I do need people that know what they're doing, and I don't want to see medicine crushed. As it is in socialized medicine, they don't even treat, like, if you go to Italy or England, or they have to come here to get care.
Innovation dies
when
you don't treat our kids. And I can give a perfect example very quickly. Faith has some pancreatic problems we've been dealing with, and we had a doctor. She wouldn't have made it through without this doctor. And he came up with a way to treat her. And some other docs had tried and didn't know what to do. They couldn't even get into her to do anything. And so he came back after Christmas break and he goes, I've been thinking about her the entire time I was on break. That's the doctor you want. And he walks into the room and he says, hey, I bought this scope 3 years ago and I've never used it. I wondered, why did I buy this scope? I wasted my money. And he looks, he goes, I didn't. I know why I bought it. I'm going to use it on your daughter today. And he used it on her successfully. He was using it in a way that it was not intended to be used. And so he was doing novel care that no one had ever done before. So the University of Michigan then featured him and Faith in some article, and other hospitals tried to grab him and steal him away because they wanted him to do some things there. And so he went back to Michigan and said, hey, they want me to come do this. I'd rather do it here. Can we do it? So he now has launched a pancreatic clinic at the University of Michigan, Mott Children's Hospital, because of what he did on our daughter, Faith.
So much good. So much good comes out of adversity. And I often say this, but out of the ashes of our lives, God does his best work, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Always.
And Brad, I love your comment about when you said you want me to violently kill my daughter because so that she doesn't die. I've been grasping for a way to say that. And now I have it. Thanks to you. I'm going to steal it.
I have another little line I use a lot of times when they push in this stuff. I'm like, death doesn't need any help. It comes very easily. Just stop. Stop working. Stop fighting. Stop striving to live. And you'll die. It's really easy to die. Life is filled with work. Life takes hard work, and you have to fight through the suffering and the struggles, which is what life is. So then I will say to someone, I'll say, well, what you're telling me, then you don't want my daughter to suffer, is that she doesn't deserve the right to suffer and fight and struggle to live, but you do. Mm. I mean, it's total inequality that they have in their view.
Our children really need to be protected under the law because we have people in prison for violent crimes that have more protections over their lives than my daughter does in the hospital. Yeah. And I think that's the problem, that it can happen so fast if you're not sitting in the room and people just decide not to do what, you know, they slow code it and bring things so slowly. They know your child's going to die, or they don't even offer things. You don't know what to ask for.
And just so you know, slow code, because a lot of people don't know, full code is when they bring everything to treat you. Slow code is a nickname that doctors use. Most people don't even know this is happening. They bring the medicine to you, but they bring it so slowly that they know it will do you no good. So they want to make it look like they're treating you while they're actually letting you die.
Yes, it's horrific.
It is. But our children deserve, they are equal under the law. They should be equal as human beings. And it is an issue that we have to fight on every front. I mean, we have to fight it with law. We have to fight it. And really, the churches need to stand up more and get involved, especially, you know, they don't want to be political, but God was very clear that if we harm one of his little ones, it'd be better for us to have a millstone tied around our neck and be thrown into the sea. That's pretty clear how he feels about harming the little ones.
We're commanded to be a voice for the voiceless. It is our job to stand up and speak for these children who can't speak for themselves. And we will answer for that.
Well, how can we better inform people that trisomy is not a curse and it's nothing to be afraid of? Beverly, let's start with you.
You know, I've always heard stories. I have friends who are raising children with Down syndrome. I didn't really know what it would be like. I think there's a certain level where you just don't know till you walk it yourself. But I would hear the stories about how parents of children with special needs, whatever the condition, would say, "He is a blessing. She is a blessing. We are so glad that our child is part of our family." And, you know, there's that kind of head knowledge like, okay, you know, that's nice for you. I'm so glad. And I mean, again, this is holding a mirror to my heart and realizing ultimately I'm a hedonistic little sucker. I'm selfish. I joke that God kept sending us kids because I still needed to work on patience and self-sacrifice and laying down my life to serve others because I say I follow Jesus. Am I going to pick up my cross daily and follow him? And like, it brings me to tears to even think about the work that God has done in me through my daughter. She's one of my best teachers. And it sounds trite to just repeat what other parents told me, that Verity's a blessing. And we can't imagine our lives without her, but it comes from my heart. It is so true. She has changed us so profoundly. And I still have a long way to go. Like, God is not done with me yet. That's why I'm still on earth. I'm still learning to die to self daily and to be willing to do what God has called me to do. But what a sweet blessing to have Verity along the way that we get to serve her and watch what she brings not only to us, but to the community. It almost defies words.
Well, Jesse and Brad, let's hear from you.
Yeah, I was just going to say it is, you know, obviously the challenge before us. But remember that doctor told us at the very beginning that it would destroy our marriage, destroy our other children, destroy our finances. He couldn't have been more wrong. Our marriage is stronger. Our children are amazing because they've lived struggles. They've had hard times with some of this stuff, but it's made them stronger and given them compassion for other people that it took me to age 40 to get what they've grown up with. And on top of that, my job actually is wrapped around my daughter Faith now. I work in the pro-life movement because of her. And so everything that they said was absolutely 100% wrong.
I laugh because Faith has actually employed each one of my children. So she's the employer of record when they become trained to work, you know, with anybody with special needs. But we've had them do it with Faith because I didn't want her to be with a stranger all day. So we decided she was going to be, if family would do it, then we would have them. So she's been the tiny boss around here, paying people just to be with her little smiley self, taking her places. And the gift is ours. I think showing up when we can, when she's feeling good and we're out, is one of the biggest things. I notice people say, "We've been watching you." I feel very conspicuous when we're out because we got a lot of stuff. You know, we come in like a, you know, a big truck. But I notice people, and I do think there's a gift in just living life, you know, just loving your child. And it's no small thing. Brad's so happy being married to me now. So, you know, it's really worked for him.
It's true.
Well, I want to thank you, all three of you, for what you've said during this time. You have given hope to so many people. Mm-hmm. So thank you all for joining us. I so deeply appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for doing it. Thank you for helping to educate people. We greatly appreciate that you took the time to do it.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be here.
Victor, I'm really glad we did an additional episode of this program because what they have to say, these parents, is so vitally important. In particular, the importance of the church getting involved. If your church has any children or individuals with disabilities, it's really important that you all gather around them to help nurture and love on them.
And to your point, Brad, as our guests mentioned, there are so many people who, if they're experiencing this, they don't know what's going on. There's not a lot of expertise from within the medical community guiding these people. So it does need to be that community effort from the church, from their friends, from their family, which is why we're equipping you, the listener, with those resources that you need to help share it with these families as they get this news and as they have potentially these doctors that are trying to scare them and convince them to have an abortion. You can be there as that support system. Again, those resources are available on our website, lifeissues.org. lifeissues.org. Be sure to tune in next week for another Straight Talk on Life Issues.